The main challenge of my mandate when I started in 2012 was that I didn't have access to the country. So I was like, what should I be doing to collect information which is fresh and which has been verified? But over time, I have found that while this was a challenge, it has allowed me to also broaden my network of people to whom I speak about human rights issues in Eritrea. And over time also, it hasn't been of any handicap in terms of how I continued gathering information from various sources, collecting the information and having it checked, etc. So what I found as the biggest challenge, in fact, over time became great opportunity in terms of how to continue work in such situations.
Do you think that your position in Eritrea has changed due to political aspects or just because of your attitude?
The situation in Eritrea is quite difficult in terms of political space. Since 1991, those who brought liberation to the country are still in power. Independence was in 1993. And since then, the only political party which has been allowed is the PFDJ, and it's still there. So on the political front, I don't see much in terms of changes. However, I look at it from a human rights perspective, because the right to participate in government, in public life, is in fact a human right. And people should have the opportunity to have their say in all that concerns public life and the political space in the country.
What is your way to access to people's voices?
I have talked to several types of voices, if I may put it this way. At the beginning, I have listened to lots of people who were leaving the country in neighboring countries, but then I went further afield and talked to many of those. I also then developed a network of people who have been working on Eritrea for a longer time than since I started in 2012. And for me, the voices which I have found more powerful, I started talking to young children leaving the country. And I wanted to understand, why do they leave? What is the problem? So I followed them from a refugee camp, not the same group, of course, but youngsters who go from one country to another in search of a safe haven. So I was on the continent, went on to Tunisia to meet quite a number of them, continued in other European countries. And those were the most powerful voices I have heard, because, as you know, children are the future of a country. And in fact, so many young people are leaving. And it's like the future of the country walking away.
What are the expectations of these young people?
Most of the people I've spoken to, of the youngsters, said that they feel very sort of constrained in a situation at home which links education to the national service, conscription, forced conscription. What happens is that at the age of 18, or when young people reach 12th grade in the curricula of the educational path, they need to go to military training at the same time in order to pursue their education. Because if they don't do that, they won't be able to get a certificate at the end. People felt being pulled down, those youngsters. They wanted education, but they didn't want military training, because they don't want to be conscripted for an indefinite period in the national service. And that's irrespective of whether it's a boy or a girl.
Also, girls are involved into military forces?
Yes, girls are also conscripted and undergo the same training as boys. Of course, there are different ways. You know, some girls have sort of become invisible in their community because lots have dropped out. I have spoken to a few who decided they would rather get married and have a family because they can sort of get away from the national service. Basically, what is the situation is that people get different modes to cope not to be enrolled in the national service.
Is there something further you want to say to our audience?
I really believe that at the moment, what is needed in Eritrea is for people to understand that there's some basic things which absolutely need to happen. At the moment, there's no constitution in Eritrea. There's no independent judiciary. There is no sort of checks and balances, legislative assembly. Basically, I'm talking about a lack of rule of law. So what the country needs, and I'm talking not only for people, but also for the government, is to ensure that there's institutional reforms which ensure that rule of law is the highest priority because it has an incidence on each and every aspect of people's life.